Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, Sister Danielle, and all those who have tuned in. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, and we're being glad in it. Certainly, I want to share with us on this morning words of encouragement entitled The Unity of the Spirit. We're going to take a look quickly at Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through about verse 5, and then our words of encouragement will be a part of our daily journey. If there, therefore, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. When we speak of the unity of the Spirit, we mean the Spirit is what makes everything happen, being together. The church is the perspective, as well as our individual lives, as he, that is the Spirit, develops each Christian. Therefore, by being led or allowing the Spirit to be the leader or the guide or the forerunner in your life, we endeavor to keep the unity thereof and walk worthy of our vocation or our calling. You see, it was through his influence, that is the Spirit, and power that the first disciples of Christ became the apostles of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, it was the Spirit that came upon the day of Pentecost and gave them the ability to utter the words in which they uttered on that great day. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But also it was by the Holy Spirit's influence and authority that men became elders and overseers of the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. See, furthermore, it is by his influence, that is the Holy Spirit's influence and teaching, that our obedience to his teaching, that is the Holy Spirit, that we all are made one in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verses 13, we'll learn there clearly that the Holy Spirit had influence in that endeavor as well. Ephesians 4:13. The Bible says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of man. The infant church needed the Holy Spirit's guidance to it, to develop it, to take it to the next level, because it was such an infantile group that it had no way of knowing which direction to go. There's three quick questions I want to pose for today as we are traveling to work, sitting at home, because unity is so significant. And we want to maintain the unity of the Spirit, recognizing what it is, but also because there's a cost factor to keeping unity. If we're not unified, we're going to stay unified as a church or as a family, things will come to an end. See, what could happen in a church that could cause it to lose its unity? Well, controversy, conflicts, and carelessness. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through all the passages that teaches this, but Acts 15, 1 through 20, Acts 15, 36 through 14, and Acts 6, 1 through 5. But when these things do occur, we must identify and recognize them, correct them, and move on beyond them. Question two, what could happen if a church lost its unity? Now, we know that what could happen in a church that would cause it to lose unity, all sorts of things, but what if it did? Well, it could lose its numerical and spiritual strength. It could lose its influence in the community. And it could lose its fellowship with God. So we know we don't want to lose our unity as a church or as a family. But question three is, what would be the challenge to keep the unity? Well, I think we should clearly define the mission of the church, clearly define the role of each member, and develop everyone to their highest potential. and motivate them to work together. You know, Ephesians 1:27 tells us to strive together for the unity of the faith or for the faith of the gospel. See, it must be understood that unity doesn't come easy. It takes a great effort to acquire it and a greater effort to maintain it. There's risk to keeping unity. Remember, it costs lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and love. See, someone has to take the high road. Someone has to be humble. Someone has to be meek, that is power under strength, on control, long-suffering, tolerating, putting up with, forbearance, going along to get along, in love. If there is no one willing to be humble, meek, long-suffering, gentle, forbearance, in love, we ought to speak the truth in love. And I know there are those of us who say, I just have to, that's who I am, I have to tell it like it is. Well, you can tell it like it is, as long as you ensure that you do it in love. But be willing to be humble and forgiving and long-suffering. The very ones you criticize, be willing to lend them a helping hand. Be willing to go the extra mile with them. Yes, they have a flawed character, but what will you be willing to do to help them correct the flawed character? Just don't throw a rock at them and don't throw a life preserve jacket as well. And so oftentimes we have splintering groups in the church, and they're not necessary. We have division in our homes, and it's not necessary. It takes those who lay claim to Jesus being the child of God, children of God. We must all, each and every one of us, be willing to do all that it takes to maintain or endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of people. Because this is our walk with Christ, and we got to recognize the significance and importance of our walk. So on today, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because it is important that we understand the significance of being unified and being one in Christ Jesus. May God bless you real good and keep you through your walk today as we pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day you've given us. We pray for those who are listening to this telecast that they are open to what words have come across on their ears this morning, that the significance of unity, recognizing that how that the Spirit influenced the early Christians, it ordained the original apostles, it ordained the elders and the overseers, influenced the teaching of the believers through their obedient act of baptism and faith in Christ. What could happen if we lost our unity, the things that could occur to cause us to lose our unity, and how we can maintain this unity. These are the things that we want to place on our hearts and mind today as we go on our journey. We ask of these things in your Son Christ's name. Amen.